Hello. Come down off the platform. I've got a cold, by the way, hence the tissues. So if I have to stop and blow my nose, I apologise in advance. So I want to talk to you. John's Gospel. Ian asked me to share something from John's Gospel. He said, what would you like to talk about? And I said, I'd like to talk about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is an interesting character. And there's the title of the talk. More than just a load of words. From ChatGPT. Now, some people in the room may not know what ChatGPT is. Trust me, you will at the end. This whole sermon has been done by ChatGPT. It's possible. Many years ago, I was a building society manager, and I did a mortgage interview for a lady, and this was in the 80s, and this particular individual came into my branch and asked for a mortgage interview, and I had to talk to her about mortgages and stuff like that. But at that time, we'd been trained in how to sell insurance and pensions and link it to mortgages. It was a tremendously complicated thing, and we were well chuffed because we could do it. And I was talking to this lady, and at the end of my great spiel, she just looked at me. She was Irish, by the way, hence the accent that's going to come out in a minute. And she said to me, "I don't understand what you're talking about. It's just a load of words." And I thought, yes, probably is, actually. It's just a load of words. Meant absolutely nothing to her. I knew it in my head. I knew everything I was talking about. To her, it was just a load of words. Don't worry about it. I'll bend down. No, seriously, don't worry. It's all right. It's just a load of words. So I was reminded of that when I was doing this talk, preparing. I thought, it's lived with me for 20 or 30 years, just a load of words. Just be careful when you hear that. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to link the following things together. Here we go. Look, it's very small, isn't it? We've got an encyclopedia. We've got a mortarboard. We've got sunshine. We've got night. We've got wind. We've got water. And we've got ChatGPT. Can you imagine life without Google? Some of us long for it, don't we? Someone's going, joy, bring it on, life without Google. How on earth did we survive? Some of the young people here are going, how is that possible? How have you managed to live so long without Google? 2,000 years ago, people didn't have Google at all. The word Google was probably something that a man said to a small child in biblical terms, you know, sort of Google, things like that. Most people got taught by people, real people. It's a good thought. Taught by real people. But not everybody was allowed to teach. And we're going to meet one today. We're going to meet Nicodemus. He was a teacher. Moreover, he's not just any teacher, okay? He's a smart man. This man knows a lot. He's so smart, he writes leading articles for the Times and things like that. He's the sort of guy who people go to and say, Nicodemus, you must know about this. He's the intellectual elite. He's got an encyclopedic knowledge, hence the encyclopedia, of stuff. Let's read what the story says in John. You know this. It's ever so famous. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he wasn't just anybody. He was also a serious government official. Okay? He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you're doing if God were not with him. Nice statement. In reply, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It's not the first thing you expect when you say what you just said to Jesus, and Jesus says that. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound and you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. At this point, Nicodemus is going, you are? What is he on about? How can this be, says Nicodemus. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus says, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is all we get to know about Nicodemus in terms of the meeting with Jesus, just those extraordinary famous verses that I imagine most of us will probably, a lot of us, not all, will know very, very well, very deeply. And when I started thinking about preaching from this, I thought, well, golly, you know, how on earth do you preach about this? Trillions of people have done that for years and written books about it. What on earth am I going to say? And then the Lord said to me, I've been talking to you a bit recently about some stuff. This is him talking to me. Why don't you talk about that? I thought, okay, I will. So let's look a bit deeper about this story. I love this picture of Nicodemus meeting Jesus. When I was at Sunday school, this is the kind of pictures we had of Nicodemus. Wouldn't it be marvelous? You know, there you are, a secret meeting at night, and a man turns up wearing white. Or worse still, he comes with a halo around his head and sits there, shining in the darkness. Interesting thought. That's how people used to represent the meeting of Jesus Nicodemus. I'm not so sure it's like that. Nicodemus, first and foremost, let's explore this for a moment. Nicodemus was curious. He's a teachable guy. He knows stuff. He's been to university. He's been to the best universities. He knows stuff. But he's open-minded because he's heard stuff and he's seen things going on and he's heard and he's seeking. So hear that point, seek. So what I love about John's gospel here is, Nicodemus doesn't feature in any of the others, by the way. John chose to tell this story. Is almost everything that we ever want to know is in these first few verses of chapter 2 and 3. Seek, and something will be revealed to you. So Nicodemus is seeking. And he doesn't kind of come with a big sort of rah-rah. He asks if he could meet him at night. Two reasons. I suspect, most likely, because Nicodemus is a serious person. It would be like Boris Johnson wanting to meet Jesus at night. You know, everybody would know who he was. So everybody knew who Nicodemus was. So he says, let's not make a fuss. I'll do it at night. And Jesus goes, good idea. I like that. He didn't want to be exposed, but he also didn't want to expose Jesus to a conflict at that time. That's going to come later, much later. But I like the piece that this says, that Jesus meets Nicodemus where he's at a time that's important to him. He could have said, I've got my diary, you can come at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. But no, he comes at night, complete with his halo. The Bible seems to think it's a very short chat, isn't it? About five verses here. I suspect it wasn't a short chat at all. I suspect it was a very long chat. You know, and Jesus likes to sit down with people and talk and listen. And I suspect it was a bit like that, even though we only get about 10 verses here. And then we say, well, what does Nicodemus actually want? What does he ask? Well, he doesn't actually ask anything. Notice that. He doesn't actually ask a question at the start. He says, I know who you are. You're the teacher who's come from God. For no one could perform miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. He doesn't ask a question. Jesus is the one that lobs the curveball in a moment. What he does is he states what he knows. He states his truth. He states where he's at. He says, I'm hearing stuff. Help me out here. What's going on? Tell me. I've got a sneaking suspicion something far more important is at work. And Jesus says, you're right. So I love the fact that Nicodemus is searching and he's wondering. I love the fact that we should wonder more about what God is doing and what God is saying. And Nicodemus is an example of somebody who's just wondering, curious, wanting to find out. And then Jesus meets him where he's at. A lot of scholars seem to think that this was probably a way of Nicodemus trying to trap Jesus with this cunning wheeze of heading him off there. And it might have been, I don't know. But I like to think of it another way. I like to think of it as a way of actually Nicodemus asking and searching and Jesus responding. And then, of course, Jesus comes in with these fabulous words like, nobody can see the kingdom unless he is born again. Now, what's interesting here is if Nicodemus was a teacher, which he was, remember, professor, knows everything, big encyclopedias, knows everything, Jesus knows that, and he knows that Nicodemus will know a lot of stuff. And he'll know stuff from Ezekiel. Here's some words out of Ezekiel 36, 25, 26, he says here. You might even have it. There we go. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Jesus knows that Nicodemus knows this. Because Nicodemus knows the scriptures. But what Jesus does is, he kind of goes, hey, you know what? Let me just expand on that for you. Let me help you understand what being born of water and being born of the Spirit actually means. Nicodemus is probably at this point beginning to think, this is serious stuff, because there's something in me quickening here. If the Spirit is at work, I'm experiencing this man telling me stuff that I know, but in a completely different way. That's an important point, what we know, but it's being done in a different way. The teaching, Ezekiel, is all knowledge. It's all a load of words. And here's Jesus coming along and saying, and here I am living it out. I'm being it. It's about understanding. He goes on to talk about where the wind blows. You know that lovely phrase, where the wind blows, the Spirit of God is like the wind. He talks about that. Nobody knows where it is coming from. The Spirit is unfathomable. That's a hard word to say, that, actually. Unfathomable. Unpredictable. You don't know where it's coming from. Jesus is telling that. Oh, and by the way, Jesus is saying, and it's here, right now, with you, Nicodemus. Can you smell it? Can you hear it? He says, let me just read it again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is the new Spirit that he's going to put in Nicodemus's heart from Ezekiel. You may not know it, but it'll be there. You'll feel it. Animals hear the wind. Do you know that? Animals know where the wind's coming from. Cows sit down, don't they, when it's sunny or rainy or whatever. I heard something recently about beetles in the desert. They know when the wind is coming because they stand up and smell it and hear it. I like that thought of, are we attuned to the Holy Spirit enough to hear it, smell it, sense it? And as we read on, and I'm not going to do John 3:16. How can that be possible? This is the most important words in the Bible. I'm not going to talk about them because we've done that many times before and there's other things to say. But Jesus goes on to say, well, maybe he doesn't actually. Maybe it wasn't Jesus. People are not sure whether those actually were words that Jesus said. I have this wonderful Bible that has things in red when Jesus says them. Anybody got a Bible like that? It's nice, isn't it? And then these words aren't in red. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that's a mistake then, clearly. They've not printed that right. But then nobody's entirely sure whether Jesus actually said those words. What we can be sure of is John heard them somewhere, probably, or felt them, and found it important to put them in. Imagine what Nicodemus is going through at this point. He's heard all this stuff. He's heard these weird and wonderful stories. Wow, what's going on for him? And we don't know how he goes away. It doesn't say he went away leaping and shouting like other things. He just kind of, that was it. He went away. Many years ago, I sat in a meeting. Caroline was probably there, I think. Many, many years ago. And there was a guy come over from America who rejoiced in the name of Wayne Drain. Anybody remember a gentleman called Wayne Drain? That's a fabulous name, isn't it? He was quite a prophetic guy, wrote lots of songs. And we were in a meeting, and there must have been, I don't know, about 30 or 40 people. And he was standing there, and about two rows back, I was sitting there. And in the middle of his talk or whatever, he suddenly stopped and looked straight at me. Which is always unsettling, isn't it, when people do that? You think, oh, what have I done? And he said, the Lord can't get to your heart because your head's in the way. And I thought, well, that's very nice. Thank you. And he said, the Lord is struggling to get to your heart because your head is in the way, your mind is in the way. And it just made me think, I was reminded that I was writing this talk, that you can have all the knowledge in the world and no understanding. And Nicodemus had all the knowledge that there was to know. He was the man. He was the teacher. He was a Pharisee, and everybody thinks the Pharisees are the bad guys. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he just didn't know what he didn't know. It hadn't been revealed to him at that point. And here's Jesus. And John, this is why I love it, where John puts this right at the very beginning. So last week we heard about, or whenever it was, the Cana, the miracle at Cana, where people went to Jesus and said, help. We've got a problem here. They sought Jesus out. Here, somebody's seeking out Jesus again, this time for a slightly different reason. And John puts it in very early on that says, you know what? You may think you know a lot of stuff. However, without all that, with all that knowledge, without understanding, it's just a load of words. Let me read you something from Corinthians briefly. It says this in Corinthians. There you are, you've got it up there. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We receive the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Don't understand it. So those early words of Jesus, what on earth did they mean? when he's talking to Nicodemus. He doesn't understand. So what are we to make of all of this? We don't know much more about Nicodemus, by the way. He appears twice more in John's Gospel. He appears standing up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin when Jesus is about to be captured and tried. He says, surely this is a man of God. He's discovering things. He's beginning to learn. He's on this journey. And he's with Joseph of Arimathea at the very end when he buries Jesus. So he's a good guy. And he's been there all the time. But I wonder, we know these verses very, very well. But here's my challenge to us, and this is often the way that God works with me, is that he asked me another question. And the question to me was, how consumed are you with information and knowledge so that you can't actually see the Spirit or hear the Spirit? Some of us think we're really special because we know a lot of things. Well, maybe we don't know a lot of things, but Google allows us to know everything. You know, number of times I'm in a conversation and I go, I know this. And people say, well, just Google it, look it up. And I think, yeah, I could do that. So I can find out instantly. All information is everywhere. We can find out whatever we want. ChatGPT, I told you it would come in. This is what This is what it does. It writes things for you because it searches all the information that there is in the world. It could have written this sermon. You don't know whether it did. There will be a time when somebody, some lazy preacher somewhere will go, oh, I've run out of time. There we go, bingo. So what does it do? What does this AI do? I'm a little worried about AI personally, largely because I simply don't understand it. What does it do? Let me tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't give you any sense of wisdom or understanding. It just trawls information. It just gathers information through a wonderful algorithm, which is way beyond my head and yours. It puts it all into a way that makes it make sense, apparently. Can we have the next slide? There we go. So here we are. This is my learning from Nicodemus. Bet you weren't expecting this. Information is not the same as knowledge. Don't kid ourselves that because we have the information, we know it. We don't. But more importantly, knowledge is simply not the same as understanding. And that's what this early chapter of John is about. You may know something, Nicodemus, but you don't understand. Let me help you understand it. And the whole of the rest of the story and beyond. And this is what I love about John's Gospel. John's Gospel isn't facts. It is facts, but it's not laid out like Matthew, fact. It's laid out in weird and wonderful things, just stories and lovely poetry and all that lovely depth of understanding. So knowledge is not the same as understanding. And understanding comes, and wisdom comes from that deeper revelation. And revelation is what the Spirit does, and it's also what living it does. And what I love about John's definition story about Nicodemus is we have literally no idea how Nicodemus went on and did his life. Apart from two things. We don't know. So I like to think, as I mused, I thought, I bet he carried on digging around and researching this. And the Spirit kept prompting him and going, here's another thing. Here's another thing. And eventually he became alive with that to the point where he wanted to bury Jesus in the tomb. It was that important to him. So, the Spirit, let me see what I've written up. Bend down here, this is quite the bomb. I wondered if we should actually allow the Spirit to reveal more of the kingdom of God to us than we do. Empty our heads of some clutter and allow the Spirit of God to reveal things to us. And trust that Jesus and the Spirit will meet us where we are, just as Jesus did with Nicodemus, in the dark, at night, in a place which works for us. I want to finish with a story and then a little challenge. Last weekend, we had an interesting weekend, me and Caroline. I had a cold, I gave it to her. We had a dog, we have still got a dog who had an operation, so he was all over the place with his operation. And then Saturday night, an entire swarm of bees descended on our garden. Has anybody ever had a swarm of bees descend on your garden? It's a little unsettling, isn't it, really? So I was out the front and Caroline shouts, "Don't come in the back, there's a swarm of bees." What's your first reaction when that you hear that? Hide, run. swarm of bees, wow. So lo and behold, a swarm of bees had descended on our garden. Not just a few. How many is in a swarm, do you know? 7,000, we reckon, this one, the bee man came, 7,000 bees. That's a cloud of bees. And apparently they'd been going down the garden, down the little road where we live, and other people had seen them and shut the windows and all that sort of stuff. And they landed in our garden, and they stayed. And they made what can only be described as a glorious little sort of rugby ball-sized thing hanging from a lovely tree that we put at the bottom of our garden. And they stayed there overnight. We gave them breakfast and, you know, bed for the night, charged them. It's a new version of Airbnb, isn't it, I suppose? Sorry? 7,000. This is a good, yeah, a bit of money, wasn't it? It became quite an interesting thing. People were coming from far and wide, well, the neighbours anyway, to see these bees and daring how close you could get to a swarm of bees. How close can you get to a swarm of bees? Actually, quite close. I had to phone somebody up. I phoned my friend who has bees. And I said, it would be stupid to phone somebody who didn't, wouldn't it? But anyway, I said, "What should I do with all these bees? What am I going to do?" And he said, "Don't worry, they're very docile right now. They're just hunting for a new hive. And they're resting up overnight. They've sent the scouts out to look for somewhere, and they'll come back and tell them where there's another hive." He said, "You could put your hand in this swarm of bees if you want." And he said, "It'd be fine." I said, "No." But so, didn't go there. But it was a really interesting thought. And we were just like, we're going to let the dog out the back just in case. So we just sat indoors, shut the windows. And afterwards, the next day, a man came and took them away in a little basket. I wasn't there, but apparently he put them on the back seat of his car, just like that. And I just thought, well, what's all that about? Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because as I listened to the bees and as I thought about that, I thought, why did they choose my garden? There's lots of other gardens around here. They could have gone a long way over there into the farm, but they chose my garden. And all that the Lord said to me about bees was, that's because they felt safe in your garden. There was a welcome in your garden. And nature just encamped overnight in your garden. And I say that to you now, not because I'm particularly proud of the fact that we've got a nice garden that's welcoming for bees, but it's just one of those things that if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through obvious things or strange things, other insight comes. And I was reminded of I wonder how welcoming we are, or I am. And if God speaks to you through nature, which the Holy Spirit does, and 7,000 bees feel at home in my garden, that says something to me about perhaps the way the kingdom is and the way I am. So I just leave you with this thought, all from Nicodemus, right? The last big question. What more of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit might be revealed to you if you were open and sought it and emptied our head of knowledge and stuff and just came and said, "I've heard things about you, Jesus. Tell me."